The question is how do I let go of my image of my daughter's body? One of the things I did right in my life was my daughter. And when I had her, I wanted something to love. And I loved her. And every day, because her father was 6'4", I knew she was going to be tall. And every day, dozens of times a day, I would say, "You're going to be a gorgeous, long-legged, blue-eyed blonde." And you know, today, she's 6 foot tall, and she is a little bit overweight, but you know, that woman walks into a room and she struts. She knows she's beautiful, she feels beautiful, and she acts beautiful. And I sit there and I thank God every day that I learned, and threw all of this love and attention into her. Because you know, today, she's a healthy person. And it just always amazes me, because I made this beautiful, wonderful person. My second question is, how have you handled the physical changes and chemical changes drastic weight loss has caused, i.e. sagging parts, dimples where they weren't before, and mood changes? One of the things that I have this year is I have a scar from here to here. And it was closed with glue and staples. And I've taken care of that scar by rubbing it with vitamin E. And all of my staple marks have left. I still have the glued up thing, but I feel wonderful because it doesn't look all that bad. The hair, I've learned to do that with a certain amount of whatever. I'm not sure if you would call it panache or you would call it chutzpah. But I went to a couple of classes and I got a couple of wigs. But you know, every time I wore the wigs, I felt like I was lying. And I thought, this is really weird. I have all these wigs, but I don't feel natural and normal in them. And so I don't wear them. And I've just decided, if it makes people uneasy to see me bald, BFD. And the other thing is, by changing my weight, my 18s and 20s no longer fit me. Size 16 petites are too tight around my waist. I went to Kmart with a friend who needed help, and I found tights or leggings. And for $130, I got a complete new wardrobe. But the biggest thing is, these were popular when I was a teenager. It makes me feel like a teenager, and I've been strutting my stuff.
Okay, I'm Sharon. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic. So this question, there's like four questions. So the first is, does anyone have a healthy body image? I have no idea. Who here has a healthy body image? Raise your hand if you do. Okay, so look around. Does anyone have a healthy body image?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, right? But part of this disease, I mean, the deal is that part of this disease is a distortion around this. So we're twisted. And it gets better. My experience is that it's gotten better over time, but I'm never going to be cured. And when I go back into the food, it gets a lot worse. So I have to stay in recovery, and as long as I do, then I can feel okay most days about my body, about my weight, about my food, about my life. The next part is, it seems either in arrogance or in loathing. I don't quite get that, but maybe we go back and forth. I have a sponsee who is so thrilled with the 50 pounds she's lost. Oh, she talks about it all the time. And it's like, I mean, it feels like an arrogance, actually. And I worry for her abstinence sometimes. So I love what Lisa said about, you know, just part of the part of recovery is about finding humility, that it's just finding being in acceptance with my body the way it is right now. So I really hope I'm not in arrogance and I'm not in self-loathing. I'm just showing up as I am right now, accepting myself as best I can right now. Then it says, isn't OA just putting our bodies on a pedestal and hiding that with said spiritual progress? Well, you know, no. I mean, I don't know what, there is no OA, you know. I'm not the spokesmodel for OA. But my experience is that it's not about our bodies. It's not about the food. It's not about our self-image. It's not about putting ourselves on a pedestal. It's just about doing the work, showing up, sometimes rumpled, sometimes with hairy legs, sometimes, you know, however we show up and doing what's in front of us and not avoiding our lives or our issues by thinking about our bodies, food, or weight, or the other million things that we can get all twisted up about. So, and then the last question, the another one that I'm going to take is, how do I accept the way I can't read that. I think it says look. How do I accept the way I look when having feelings, like crying or feeling helpless? That is an interesting question. How do I accept it? Well, I carry a little Kuan Yin in my pocket. You know, she's the goddess of love and mercy. And mercy and compassion. And so at some point during my talk, I pulled her out of my pocket because I really needed it, her. And, you know, it's like by practicing love and compassion and mercy for ourselves, and just if we're having feelings and we're emotional and we cry, that's what we get through our recovery. And accepting it as best we can and going forward. The fact that I'm having feelings shows I am recovered. I get my feelings. I thought for a long time that when I lost my weight, when I got abstinent, I would be happy all the time. I really kind of thought that I would just be happy, happy, happy. And that the deal is that we get all of them. The sadness, the grief, the anger, the happy, the excited, just all of it. We get all of it. And so we have to be willing to have all of it, all of them. I have a little feelings. Sometimes I have the most feelings at home and when I'm writing or whatever, or I can save it up till I get home. And I have this pink velvet chair with wings on it, little wings, forget what you call it. But anyway, it's this beautiful chair that I feel like it's my higher power. And when I sit in it, I can have any feeling. And I feel accepted, and I feel like I'm kind of on my higher power's lap. And I can have any feeling. And it's okay. So how do I look? Well, I've given up how I look when I'm having feelings because, you know, it's sometimes I get embarrassed. But What somebody told me is that when I feel embarrassed, I'm stretching and I'm doing something that feels uncomfortable, and it's a good thing. So that's what I have. Thank you.
Well, I'll be really quick. The question just says, tell me how to change my body image. All my life I felt fat. And how to change is underlined. And I smiled when I got this because I was like, so this is how I want to do everything. I want to be like, you know, I want like, want change. I want it now. I want it drastic. And if there were an easy answer to this question, like Oprah would be out of a job. you know, yeah, I think I can't, I think the point, I don't know, maybe you can. I can't change my body image. That's what I'm learning. I can't force it to happen. Just like I can't force myself to be humble. It's all a gift. I can expect that gift because I've watched other people receive it. I don't think I'm being audacious by asking for it. But it's still a gift. And I think, you know, Karen was talking about paradoxes earlier, and the thing that always strikes me in this program is that what I think is the quickest, easiest way to work on something or fix something usually doesn't work. And what proves to be the quickest way to deal with something always looks from the outside like a really roundabout point of view. Like if I call my sponsor and I say, I hate my body today, and she goes, go get another sponsee. I'm like, what? You know? But it's service and it's working the steps. And I don't know why working on amends is going to help me with my body image, but that's what's happening. And I will say, like, so I think the answer to this question is work the steps. I don't know. I really don't think that my higher power wants me to hate my body. So I've got every reason to hope that it's going to change. Also to kind of piggyback about Sharon's question, about whether swinging between arrogance and self-loathing. What I'm going for right now is a body image that's right-sized, and that's flexible. And I don't think that's the same as like being looking at myself like a not conceiving of myself as having a body. You know, I know I'm a good person, but I also have this body. I'm given this body. And I think I'm allowed to have opinions on them. I just want it to be right-sized. You know, if any point in abstinence, I get up to a weight that starts being unhealthy or a weight that's too low that's unhealthy, I want to know. When I'm out dancing and I feel good, I want to feel powerful and alive, you know? I just want it to be right-sized. I don't want to be checking out my ass in every single mirror and reflective surface puddle that I walk past, you know? So I want it to be right-sized. That's all.
I was handed a question that other people weren't qualified to answer. And it's, can someone please talk about having been sexually abused in incest? It has a lasting effect on the body image. I was sexually abused as a child. And it had a great deal of effect on the three husbands that I chose, and on the patterns that went with them. But this last year, the thing that I read out of this book changed my life in the event, you know, talking about the sexual abuse, because now I know that there's a beginning to the pain and there's an end to the pain. And it never goes away. It's always there at the back of your mind, and it colors what happens in life. But sometimes when you do the step work, it goes down to where it's just kind of an imprint in the back of your mind. And if somebody would like to come up to me and talk about it later on, I'm free to do that later on. But it is something that happens. And when a parent sexually abuses you, there's no place to hide. You're never safe. There is nowhere, period. When your minister sexually abuses you, he steals your God and your peace of mind. And when a brother or sister abuses you, you think the people that are close to you can never be trusted. And I went to a sexual assault therapist for a year to handle some of these issues. And some things that happened to us are too deep to handle in these rooms. And sometimes I think we need professional help. But I'm perfectly willing to talk to people, because mostly everything in my life's an open book.